560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I'm Josh Harris, joined by...
Allison?
Where is she?
She's out for the rest of the year.
Oh, boy. So this is a man cave today.
This is it. This is it.
Oh, boy. Well, if that's the case, we need to say a prayer. Glory be to the... Wait, sorry. Oops. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen, in Jesus' name. And Dave, where have you been, man?
I have been sick.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had the flu, type 2 or something. I forgot what it was. The doctor told me that.
I didn't know it was categorized like that.
Yeah, okay. They ran a test and it was, that's what I had all last week. I was out.
Like, you were flatlined.
I was in bed.
Well, I mean, I was sending you some prayer. I was praying for you when you showed me that picture of you in the hospital. That was...
In the hospital gown.
In the hospital gown. Gosh, yeah. But then you told me it was AI.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Somebody needs confession, okay?
I didn't leave you hanging there too long.
No, you did. It was a quick punk. But I was about to launch a GoFundMe for you, man. That was I cannot believe how real that thing looked. But you know what was really moving to me is you said you saw a movie when you
I
were.
I did. Yeah, my wife and I.
Weather. Yeah,
we watched Broken Mary.
Okay,
and that's the Kevin Matthews story. We had him on the show a couple times, I think.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. And he was this huge radio personality in the 80s and 90s in Chicago, and then the whole story about Broken Mary, how he found this statue and it brought him back into the faith,
and I mean he was living a pretty, you know, wild, salty life.
Yeah.
And again, a major star in the Chicago area.
Yeah.
I mean, a super celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting is you were kind of telling me about this, right? And so at one point, he was one of the biggest celebrities in Chicago. Now he has MS, tours as a Catholic speaker, and you can just see that he's never known such peace in his life. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. It appears that way, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it's mm-hmm. kind of like what St. Paul said, right? I've learned in whatever situation I find myself in to be content. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And I was so moved by, you know, he was saying like some of the savory characters he used to hang out with.
Yeah.
We interviewed him, and now he's like, now I hang out with priests and nuns. It was definitely a, you know, antithetical snapshot of what his life used to look like.
Well, and I used to listen to him because I'm from that area.
Really?
And I used to listen to him like on a daily basis in the late 80s when I lived in
really?
That area. Yeah. And he was just, I mean, just the best. The
was
best
he?
Radio personality that, like, he did all these voices. He would carry on conversations with himself between the different characters that he created.
Wow.
And, I mean, just a real talent.
I do that, but not on the radio, unfortunately.
Just in your head.
Yes. Yeah. He got paid to do it. I have to pay somebody to help take care of it. But no.
But I highly recommend Broken Mary if you get a chance. It was on Prime.
Yeah.
I think it cost a couple bucks or something.
That sounds fantastic. Mm-hmm. I need to check that out. You know, Sunday I was voluntold by the Missionaries of Charity. I needed to help set up their outdoor nativity scene with some people. Yeah, it was beautiful. And that's one of those things you just don't say no to, right?
Yeah.
That's Mother Teresa's religious order. You don't want that on your resume when you meet St. Peter. Like, if you said, I got a Netflix
good.
Date. Yeah, no. That's major purgatory points. And it reminds me of what Mother Teresa said, right? Like, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really something to kind of embrace, especially regardless of what vocation God's called us to, right? It's mm-hmm. the small steps that, you know, allow us to travel great distance in, you know, the journey of charity and service.
And it may seem insignificant at the time, but it really isn't.
No, no. Mm-hmm. Nothing done for God is done in vain, right? Mm-hmm. And so this was kind of cool. The later after that, I went to the Pray in the Chapel and happened to see a friend from, you know, just a dear friend of mine. He was in the Adoration Chapel after Mass. And I was only there like 5 minutes, but our paths crossing at that exact instant led us to later go visit a priest we both know and love at a retirement home.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it was just like a reminder of the surgical precision of God's timing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if I was 5 minutes later or 5 minutes earlier, it never would have happened. I think about St. Augustine says, nothing therefore happens unless the omnipotent wills it to happen, or he permits it to happen, or brings it about himself. You know, mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just a snapshot of God's providence. So,
and you don't know what that impact had on that priest, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to get visitors like that and, you know, how cool.
Yeah, and he's had some major health issues as well. So just it's a reminder, right, of God's surgical timing. And, you know, I was thinking about that, too. Like, that's what this season's all about, isn't it? Right? I mean, when this world was ravaged by sin in the most perplexing battle to save humanity, like, God came down on a rescue mission.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder what the conversation in heaven was like. All right, I'm about to save the world, and I'm coming back as a baby. I'm like, what? All right, your ways are higher than our ways, I guess. But
just ahead on the Morning Quest.
Betsy Orr, parishioner at St. Joseph in Washington, Georgia, and founder of Heritage and Sharon, will be talking about Christmas Eve Mass at Purification. Our buddy Chuck Persner is going to help us get acquainted with St. Blaise. Father Eric from Transfiguration is going to be unpacking today's gospel. And up next, Father Luke Ballman, pastor of Holy Spirit Catholic Church, gives an amazing Advent reflection.
Finding joy in the journey. This is the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio, AM 1160, The Quest.
Father Luke, pastor of Holy Spirit Catholic Church in Atlantic, shares how we can maximize this Advent season and draw nearer to Christ. So, Father, you talked about opening that crack and letting God in. I think that we let His strength in when we let Him in, right? So Gabriel's name actually means the strength of God. So how can we draw that strength from God, especially if we feel unworthy or unequipped to fulfill His plan for us, or we are just lacking trust?
Yeah. You know, in addition to what we've already discussed, Josh, in terms of starting where we are and starting small and recognizing that it's not about a performance. We think we need to do something big or grand. You know, I can't do a full holy hour, Father, so I guess I'm just not good at praying. But what we fail to realize, Josh, is that there are many ways simply by reading the scripture of the day and thinking about it, perhaps using time-honored traditions of Lectio Divina or Ignatian contemplation, or maybe just turning off all of our devices and focusing on a crucifix or on a holy image, even a prayer card, and saying, all right, Lord, I'm here. Speak to me.
It can be simple. I think sometimes we get intimidated because we assume we have to move mountains. But the beauty is no step is too small for God, because He's going to take a lot more towards us.
Amen, brother. And we think that somehow we're doing all of this for God when prayer is really about what God is doing for us.
Wow, that is, I don't know if I've ever heard it phrased like that, Father. That is such a gift. I can get lost in the whole, trying to bring in the next report card for the Lord. And what you're mentioning is God is really trying to spoon feed us with His grace and especially His sacraments, right? And we just really have to show up and receive, cooperate with those gifts. So yeah, I'm going to definitely steal that and add that line to my playbook. Thank you. So you also mentioned, Father, that God's plan is much bigger than anything we can imagine. So in light of Advent, how can we discern God's larger plan for our life amidst the constant messages of the holiday season? But also, I would say as well, in terms of, you know, maybe some people have had some disappointments the past year, right? And they go, this can't be God's plan. But stepping back and realizing that He works all things for good, how would you address that?
Well, I think, Josh, you know, Jesus always meets us where we are. That is His strategy in the Gospels. He did not ask anyone He healed to be perfect before He would heal them. And I think that we hesitate approaching God because we think, well, I have to get my life in order because what I have to offer God right now is a mess. And if I go to God with this, then I'm not holy enough. I'm not in the right disposition to receive what God wants to give me, to recognize the bigger plan. But we just need to open our hearts wherever we are at this moment. And we start small. We say, Lord, I'm frustrated right now because I've wanted to prepare better during Advent. And so we unfortunately remain in that frustration when what God is saying is, okay, you're frustrated. Why are you frustrated? Are you frustrated because you think you need to be perfect and you're not perfect right now? Are you frustrated because there are circumstances in your life, in your relationships, in your career, at school that are holding you back and you don't know how to change that? You know, we just start with perhaps an emotion that we're feeling or something that's happened today. And all we need to do is open our hearts a crack and that lets the Holy Spirit in. And then God continues to guide us step by step. So oftentimes our passions, our emotions, their input into our prayer, but they're not the only input, and they're certainly not the output. We think that, oh, I feel calm, I feel peaceful, I feel grateful, therefore prayer must have worked today.
Yeah.
Prayer works simply by showing up and by listening, by opening our hearts and allowing God in. And when we make that shift in our minds, and more importantly, in our hearts, then more and more, it's God's strength, it's God's love, His mercy, who's doing the miraculous things in our lives. And God respects our showing up. And so He's going to work, but sometimes our feelings, which are affected by so many things, they need a little bit of time to catch up with where our will is, where our minds are, where our prayer is. And so I think sometimes we rely too much on how we feel as an indicator of, okay, God's with me, His strength is with me because I feel good.
Well, and it's a dangerous thing if you let your feelings be the governing compass by which you discern if everything is right or wrong, or if you should or shouldn't do something. I mean, certainly you have healthy fear and intuition, but at the same time, well, I don't feel like going to the gym, so I guess I don't need to go ever. I don't feel like eating
healthy.
That's
a good analogy.
Yeah, right? Or I'm not feeling in love with my wife at the moment, so it must not be a healthy relationship. But, you know, there's stability in God's grace, and the danger is not being doubtful or even angry at God. I think that the danger is just not showing up and listening.
To
Mass, to the adoration, to the Eucharist. So the simplicity of how you phrased it is so clutch, Father. Regardless of what's going on with our feelings in the moment, we can still show up for God and watch Him show off in our life through His grace and goodness, even if it's very subtle. And part of that, I do think, it involves pondering. You know, I think Mary was just the perfect example of pondering God's goodness, God's grace. And I'd love to know, what does it mean to ponder as Mary did, and how can we incorporate that type of reflection into our daily life, our prayer, our spiritual practices?
So everything we've said up to this point really relates to pondering. All of prayer is pondering if we allow ourselves to simply sit with whatever it is, for example, in Scripture that we want to pray with. But, you know, if we're going to ponder with Mary, a beautiful way to do it is the rosary. Or if we're going to ponder as Mary pondered. I often will tell people when they say, yeah, I'm not quite sure. I say the words of the rosary, but again, you know, I don't feel anything. Therefore, I'm not sure it's an effective prayer. And my response is, you know, when we pray the rosary, we're joining in Mary's prayer. Mary prays for us continually. And when we reflect on the mysteries of the rosary, what we're asking Mary to do is to allow us to join her in her prayer, in her praise, in her relationship with her son, Jesus. And sometimes if we can think of pondering that way, it helps. I think also we want to be sensitive to where we're feeling drawn, and that word feeling, I'm using it in a different way. I'm not talking about an emotion, but where do we think that God is inviting me to be right now in Scripture? Mm. If I am struggling with a habit that I wish to correct or somehow change, or if there's a relationship that I'm really struggling with, then look for a healing miracle in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and place yourself in that Scripture passage. Mm. Imagine the scene, imagine the people, what kind of facial expressions they have and what they might be feeling or thinking. And in doing so, we kind of sit there and ponder with it. That's the beauty of the Ignatian prayer of imagination. The tried and true method in church is Lectio Divina, a prayerful reading, ruminating, thinking about sacred scripture. So reading a passage slowly, two or three times, and allowing our hearts to kind of catch a word or a phrase and just sitting with that. It's a wonderful way to ponder.
Thank you so much for helping us prepare our hearts and our minds this Advent season to draw nearer to our Savior. Could you close us in a prayer, Father?
Certainly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Betsy Orr, parishioner at St. Joseph in Washington, Georgia, and founder of Heritage in Sharon, will be talking about Christmas Eve Mass at Purification. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Blaise. But next, Father Eric from Transfiguration Catholic Church unpacks today's gospel reading. We're joined by Father Eric Hill, pastor at Transfiguration Catholic Church, unpacking today's gospel reading. How are you, Father?
Good morning, Josh. Are you surviving without Allison?
We're trying.
He's got me here, so
we're living on Funyuns, okay, Father?
But you're only working on half your cylinders. You're still recovering from your sickness.
Yeah, well,
but you're still doing a great job, David.
Yeah, thank you.
You know it's a serious conversation when he calls you David. Okay, that's that's when he's got to drop.
My mother used to call me David.
Well, thank you so much. Speaking of serious, you're about to give us some serious soul food. Would you open us in a prayer, Father?
Let's begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we gather here. Guide us in our conversations, in our reflections, in this time to give thanks to Mary for her blessed yes to the Lord. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So today's gospel is from Luke. Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him and every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So this is the reflection that Mary offers while she's visiting Elizabeth. I think this is it's an awesome prayer. It's the prayer that the church prays every evening for Vespers. And I think we can probably put ourselves in this prayer. Instead of saying "my," as Mary speaks, I think we should say "I." My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. That we look at this prayer as more, not just Mary's, but ours.
Mm.
Because we should be proclaiming the greatness of the Lord. We should be understand that God rejoices in our Savior. That mm-hmm. we should. This is really should be ours, and He has looked upon us, not just her as a lowly servant, but we're the lowly servant. The next line about, I don't know that we're always called blessed. I think we're sometimes called a lot of things, but not always called blessed. But just the same, we are blessed. We are blessed by God in so many ways. And I think this time of the year, we kind of understand that, but I don't know that we always live that understanding of blessing. You know, we're blessed with so many gifts. We're blessed with all these things that we get around this time of the year. But the blessings that exist throughout our lives are more than we can account for or even account. And that God continues to do great things for us. And holy is his name. These are things that we should be reflecting on. And perhaps every day this could be our prayer of reflection, whether we're clergy and have to pray it, or asked to pray it, or that we just spend some time in reflection about this relationship that Mary has with the Lord, and we are called to have the same relationship and connection.
Wow. Yeah, well said. That's so cool, Father, personalizing it. Mm-hmm. St. John Paul II, I have this quote here. In the Magnificat, Mary proclaims the social dimension of God's mercy. God casts down the mighty and lifts up the lowly. So it's like you said, it's a personal invitation, right, to humility. And it's not just some abstract prayer. It can be our prayer. In fact, as you know, Father, in the breviary, we close evening prayer with the Magnificat. So it really is, I think, supposed to be, you know, tattooed on our hearts.
Yeah. And then it kind of goes into a little bit of, you know, history, right? Mm-hmm. He has shown the strength of his arm, scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. And it's that continues to happen. Sometimes we don't always see that, right? We don't always believe that, you know, those who are mighty kind of have to come down off their pillar. You know, there's no easy way to get down from a pillar, right? You either get knocked off or you fall off. And it's neither is pretty. And it's there's this history of God's plan and work in our lives that didn't just happen before, but continues to happen. And when we are hungry, we desire good things. But when we're rich or full, we push ourselves away from the table, right? We should, right? But when we're full, we can't receive anything else. And I think that's the reflection that we're called to have this Christmas also, is that we are called to be hungry. We're called to be desiring God's presence in our lives, and that we are when we're full, or, you know, I think the rich kind of connotation gets confused, that God doesn't like the rich people, that only the poor are the ones that God attends to, and that's not the truth. But when we are full, then we aren't ready to receive. We aren't willing and open to receiving what God is trying to do in our lives.
Yeah, that's well said, Father. What's the way you think we can more fully embrace this prayer and kind of make it more than just words, but kind of like, a mission statement for our lives?
I think we need to not just pray it, we need to live it. That the fact that we, how do we, so as we go through our day, how are we proclaiming that greatness?
Oh, wow.
Prayers are great. If we're just saying them and not living them, then what are we doing? You know,
yeah.
If we're not, if we look at the Our Father, if we're not forgiving our neighbor, we say we do it, but if we don't do it, then it's just words spoken or words read on a piece of paper. It's we're called to live this. How do we proclaim that greatness of the Lord? How do we show God's presence in how we live our daily lives and in the moments that we express with one another? Are we even proclaiming God at all? Do we give God the glory that he has, that he shares with us? Are we sharing that in how we live and interact with each other?
Yeah. And
are we being merciful?
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, just remind.
Those are the hard things. Sorry, Josh.
No, that's such a good closing word, Father. It reminds me that that phrase, I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to say something, it's harder to live it.
Well done. Thank you so much once again for a fantastic gospel reflection, Father Eric Hill, pastor, Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta.
All right, blessings to you both. Bye-bye.
At 8:28, I'm Dave Savage, and from Catholic Vote,
this is pretty cool.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Father Mike Schmidt's Bible in a Year podcast is closing in on 1
billion downloads.
Is that like with a B?
B. 1 wow. billion downloads. It's coming up on its fifth anniversary. It's an incredible sign of, well, it says here Catholics engaging with Scripture daily, but it's a lot of Christians and even non-Christian. I mean, a lot of people have interest in this.
It's amazing. Wow.
It started in January of 2021. Simple challenge to listen to the Bible for about 20 minutes a day, and it's become the most successful religious podcast ever.
Ever?
Ever, yes. Topping charts and inspiring millions worldwide. Listeners say it's deepened their faith, it's sustained them through hard times, and it's also helped many come back to the church.
Well, you know, and that is so cool, first off. Well, there's 7 billion people in the world, I think, and I don't know how many of these are repeat downloads, but still, 1 billion is out of control. And it's really cool because, you know, you can brag. It's like, I've read the entire Bible in a year. We, really? In a class? No, on the way to work. Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Betsy Orr, a parishioner at St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, founder of Heritage in Sheraton, will be talking about Christmas Eve Mass at Purification. But next, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Blaise.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Mondays, get acquainted with the sainted is sponsored by VerseBright.
It's 8:32.
Welcome back, Chuck.
Thank you, Allison. Good morning, and good morning, Josh.
Good morning, my friend.
So we're getting closer and closer to Christmas here, and you know, with all of this in mind, we thought we would honor and discuss the patron saint of woolcombers today. Josh, do you know what a woolcomb is?
If I had an afro, is that something I would use to try to smooth it out?
Not exactly. Wasn't what I was thinking. That was not the answer we were looking for.
Okay.
Wrong.
So, you know,
my dad had an afro back in the day.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did. He had a big old...
The white guy afro?
Yeah, I guess, he was, I mean...
Just, it was a popular look back then.
He was like a Jewish afro. I mean, he was 100% Jewish, had that and the Magnum P.I. mustache, and it was an interesting look.
That was the look back then. Good thick head of hair, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a wool comb, after a sheep is sheared, the wool can oftentimes be knotted or nappy or tangled. So the wool comber will use these iron combs to try and comb out all the kinks and the knots so that the wool can then be used to make, well, presumably an ugly sweater, I guess.
Ooh, or maybe even a beautiful sweater.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah, some of them, yeah. But, you know, details pertaining to the life of St. Blaise, who, by the way, is who we're talking about. I'm not even sure I mentioned that. He was the great bishop and martyr of our church. The details are indeed a bit sketchy, and historians are unsure of what year he was even born. But we do know that he was martyred in the year 316 in his episcopal city of Sebastia in Armenia. The Acts of St. Blaise, which essentially served as his biography, was written a good 400 years later, wherein Bishop Blaise was described, and as I quote, a holy and diligent man who worked tirelessly to encourage the spiritual and physical health of his people.
Mm-hmm.
The Edict of Toleration, which was penned in the year 311, finally granted freedom of worship in the Roman Empire, at least in theory. Persecution was still the norm in Armenia, however. So forced to flee to the back country, Blaise lived as a hermit in solitude and prayer. And then one day some wayward hunters stumbled upon him and captured him, hauled him off to prison. Aragalcas, who was the governor of Cappadocia at the time, tried to force him to worship and give sacrifice to pagan idols. Well, he flatly refused and was then in turn severely beaten. Upon refusing a second time, he was suspended from a high tree and his flesh was torn with iron combs and razor sharp rakes.
Wow.
And for this reason, in addition to being this patron saint of those who suffer with throat ailments, he is the patron saint of English wool combers, and that's where he gets that. He was ultimately beheaded in the year 316. Many of our listeners know it is customary to have one's throat blessed on the feast day of St. Blaise, and this is according to a legend of a mother who came to him with her young son who had a fishbone lodged in his throat. He was literally on the verge of death. The child coughed up the bone upon Bishop Blaise's command, and as such, St. Blaise is now among many other things that we know him for, the patron saint of those suffering with throat ailments.
Wow.
So, and I know you have an interesting story, Allison. You had alluded to the fact that he was a saint that you were familiar with.
Yeah. So, I went to Croatia. on a pilgrimage years ago with a wonderful friend, my wonderful friend Roseanne and her family. And we went to Croatia, and St. Blaise is also the patron saint of Dubrovnik.
All right.
And it was so amazing because we were in one of the little gift shops in Dubrovnik, and we saw statues of St. Blaise, and we both bought one. And we said to ourselves, how awesome would it be if we could find a priest to bless these statues of St. Blaise?
Yeah.
As soon as we walk out the door of the gift shop, here comes a priest walking right by.
Yeah,
on his way
cool.
to, I think
timing.
He's on his way to Mass. Wow. So how divine. So St. Blaise is absolutely one of those saints that I like to call on intercession for.
I mean, just the fact that he refused to renounce Christianity,
mm-hmm.
and he was subject to this brutal torture. I mean, scourged with iron combs,
yeah.
usually used to card wool, tearing at his flesh, and despite this suffering, he is steadfast in forgiving his persecutors.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they just get sick of it and behead him in 316.
Yeah, with great perseverance, he survived the torture until, as you said, Josh, they had to ultimately behead him.
Wow.
That seems to be a recurring theme with a lot of these early saints. They survived such ghastly torture. I mean, things that you think about would pretty much kill you on the spot.
Well, and you think of the faith they had,
yeah.
right? When somebody was about threatening them to kill them, they didn't budge.
Yeah.
Lord, give us that faith.
And his relics are venerated in several churches, but the primary shrine is in Meretia, Italy, or Meretia, Italy, where a basilica was built in his honor.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow, talking about embracing a mission that is outliving you, yeah. at least on earth.
Yeah.
Well, in many places, you know, because Dubrovnik and Croatia... They have a great devotion to him. So, I mean, it's not just one place.
Yeah. And when I was at seminary or, I mean, at most churches, if it's his feast day, you're getting the blessing of the throats.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And
amazing.
Many parishes have that.
That tradition has lived on. Absolutely. I'm able to go to daily Mass, and I have for the last number of years. And that's always going to happen at the end of the Mass, celebrating St. Blaise. I believe it's an optional memorial. But nonetheless, the priests always bring the candles, mm-hmm. and they offer that that blessing for all
nice.
Of us. There really aren't a lot of quotes, or no quotes, actually, directly attributed to St. Blaise. He lives on in legend, like many of the saints that we celebrate and remember. But I know, Allison, you have a few ideas and quotes that are pertinent to his way of life.
Absolutely, that capture his spirit and teachings. So the first one, be strong in faith and always trust in God. That is one. May God heal you from all your diseases. And again, with him being the patron saint of throat ailments,
yep.
that is pertinent. Another one, do not fear, for God is with you. And again, in the face of persecution.
Yes, he faced all of that. Place his trust in the divine physician and pray, hope, and don't worry.
Amen.
And that's what St. Padre Pio tells us, right?
And I love this. The Christian faith is the cure of all ills.
So true.
In the Eastern Orthodox Church, he's very highly revered.
Mm-hmm.
He's commemorated on February 11th in the Julian calendar. And an Orthodox icon, St. Blaise is often depicted blessing animals, a reflection of his care for creation. His influence is global, but it kind of takes shape differently in different locations. So in Armenia, he's venerated, you know, there, and he's seen as like a local protector and intercessor,
mm-hmm.
Particularly for farmers. In France, he's invoked by wool combers for intercession, and parts of Germany. And huge devotions in Latin America and the Philippines through Spanish missionaries. So widely honored as a patron of health and healing amongst them.
Yes, and in the Roman Rite, he is celebrated on February 3rd. St. Blaise, Bishop and Martyr.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
What time is it?
It is 8:40.
No, I mean, what time is it?
Oh, you mean that time?
Yeah.
It's Monday meme time.
Oh, it's time for the meme team. Let's do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Some silly, some inspirational.
Some you might need to source the quote a little bit. I think one time Dave gave a quote from the Dalai Lama was attributed to a saint. I'm not sure, but you might.
That might have happened. That might not have. I don't know.
Just do your homework, okay?
Who knows? I named my dog 5 miles, so I can say I walk 5 miles every day. Although, just looking at me, you can tell I don't.
You walk 6, man. You're,
yeah.
You're looking good.
Yeah. Here's a sign out in front of a church here. It says, from over the summer, too hot to keep changing sign. Sin bad, Jesus good, details inside.
Oh, that's great. What a nice sales pitch.
Yeah, I love it. Here's somebody asking Santa Claus, why are Dasher and Dancer always taking coffee breaks?
Why?
And he says, because they're my Starbucks.
Why don't you go sit in the bullpen, okay, after that one? I think Monday, it's been a good run, okay, but this Monday Memes has been retired. No, that's, I actually like that one. That is so daddy, it's funny.
Dad her up.
Yeah, dad her up, baby.
One of my favorite parts of Christmas morning, and this is from a mom telling this, one of my favorite parts of Christmas morning is watching my husband be just as surprised by the kids' gifts as they are.
Oh, that's hilarious. Your wife's kind of like that, right?
Yeah.
She goes all in. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. And she, I mean, you've even had to be like, hey, can we pump the brakes a little bit? I mean, they're not babies anymore.
Oh, and she's putting the tree, like decorating the tree, and it's like everything is like, and then she took the beads off and she had to like restring them, and I'm like, you know what, if they were up there, I'm good, you know. I don't care.
Yeah,
here's one. YOLO, you know, you only live once. Yeah. But then it's got Jesus with the LOL JK BRB.
Oh, I love that.
LOL, laugh out loud, JK, just kidding, BRB, be right back.
Yeah.
So here's one. I like this. You're seeking validation from a world that crucified a perfect man.
Dang, dude. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jesus loved people fiercely, but he also flipped tables. Kindness doesn't mean tolerating nonsense.
Wow. We're dropping some hard truth today, man.
And how about this one? We'll close on this. Imagine you get to heaven and someone tells you, I got here because you weren't afraid to tell me about Jesus.
Wow, that's amazing.
Think about that.
That'll rock your world. By the way, I'll say this on that note. There's a friend of mine. I was in a Bible study with this guy. His dad keeps his testimony on him. And when he's in like line at Starbucks, it's like this little kind of pocket testimony. He'll talk to them and he'll hand them the testimony. It's his faith story. It's like a one paragraph about how he came to Jesus. And he's just dropping. I like to hand out prayer cards, but you never know what giving God your yes when you get that, you know, interior inspiration, what it will do to somebody else.
Absolutely.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Betsy, you are a parishioner at St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, and founder of Heritage in Sheridan. We'll be talking about the Christmas Eve Mass purification.
Betsy Orp, she is the founder of Heritage in Sharon, Georgia, parishioner at St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia. Welcome back, Betsy.
Thank you, Allison. Great to be here.
I noticed on your website that you all have a Christmas Eve event at Heritage. So Josh and I would love to learn more about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us more, and what a gift to be celebrating our Savior's birth in essentially the birth of Catholicism in our diocese. Yeah, in the state.
That's right. That's a good connection, Josh. That's a really good segue. That's exactly right. I mean, we are in this historic spot in Sharon, Georgia, between Atlanta and Augusta, in an area where a lot of people don't know that the faith started. So to be able to celebrate Christ's birth here is particularly meaningful. Our historic church that is part of Heritage is the Church of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the Christmas Eve Mass, which is coming up on December 24th, is one of three public Masses that we do here in Sharon. So we love the fact that we have a priest, Monsignor Richard Lopez, who celebrates this Mass for us at 3:00 on Christmas Eve. And we also do an open house right before that for people to come across the street to the visitor center and hear about new projects that we're working on prior to the Mass. And then the 3:00 Mass time allows people who come from out of town to get back to their homes with their families before it gets too dark and, you know, before too much of their day has been taken up. So this has been a tradition going on for a bunch of years, and it's one of my favorite events here at Heritage.
Now, do you guys have some accommodations or things in store for those who may be traveling from out of town if they want to experience Heritage or stay with you guys?
We do. We are probably going to build out more of a Christmas program, I would call it, in the future, where we have overnight stay prior to and possibly after the Christmas Eve Mass. This year, our focus is on the day. It's on inviting people to come out for hot chocolate and meet us before the Mass at the Visitor Center and then experience the Mass at the church. And I think in the future, we will be building out a program where hopefully people can come for either a night or two before the Christmas Eve Mass. Mm-hmm. This year, it's a day only focused event. But in the future, I can see, because we've got well-appointed cottages down at the retreat center, I could see us offering and opening up cottage reservations in conjunction with this program. Look for us in the future to be able to offer cottage accommodations.
Wow, what a gift to experience Christmas where Catholicism all began in Georgia.
And Betsy, right. Can you give us a little bit of history about this beautiful church that the Mass is taking place in?
It's the third church that was built by the very first Catholic congregation in Georgia. So the congregation dates back to 1790, and they were such a thriving parish and congregation out here in Sharon that they ended up building three churches. First, a log cabin church, which was the first Catholic church in Georgia. Then they built a second church a little bigger. And then this third church of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary dates back to 1883.
Wow.
So even though it's a newer church of the three, it still dates back to the 1800s, and it had fallen into severe disrepair, and a group called Friends of Purification Church raised enough money to restore the church and save the bell tower and paint the outside and all of these kinds of things. So we are so delighted that there is still a church left mm-hmm. as part of this original community, and that we've been able to restore it and invite people back to this sacred spot.
Wow.
So it seats about 140 people total. That includes the choir loft. And most Christmas Eve masses from year to year, we're pretty full. This year we have the choir from St. Joseph's Parish in Washington, Georgia, singing for us. The church will be decorated, and it will be a very, very festive occasion. And you'll feel a little bit like you're back in the 1800s when you walk into the church in some ways. But it's just a delightful, beautiful liturgy. And being in a historic church like that, you always feel the ancestry of our faith when you're there at that church. And so that's why it's so much fun to invite people to come to this event in particular.
What a gift. And what a different snapshot in time from where we are today. So Betsy, this is, you said, the third oldest church in Georgia. Is that
yes.
correct?
Well, it's the third church that congregation built.
Okay.
Now, we are the oldest Catholic church in Georgia. And then by the time they built the second church here at the settlement, other churches had been established, like Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Savannah and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Though this church, being the third one that this congregation built, does not make it the oldest Catholic structure in Georgia, but it's the third church of the oldest Catholic congregation in Georgia, the third and largest.
That's amazing.
That they built. So it's really tied back to that original settlement of 1790, and they built it 100 years later, which shows that the congregation was growing and thriving, and you know, they outgrew their first two churches, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And I believe you share, but there's no stone standing from those first two parishes or churches, is that correct?
Nothing standing from the first log cabin church. The only foundational stones in the cemetery from the second church, it ended up being moved up into town and then dismantled originally. So the only church we've got standing and it remains of is this church, this current church of the Purification. But when you visit the old cemetery, there are foundational stones. Mm-hmm. We have pictures of the second church. And so those remain, but the church structure is gone. So this is the only church structure we've got, you know, left as part of that original settlement.
Wow. So fascinating. And when you visit, I personally felt just like cocooned in the spiritual presence of our Catholic ancestors. It is a trip in time down memory lane, but I guess I don't have memories to reference from back then. But it is really an experience.
But in some ways, we all do kind of have memories, don't we, in a way? I mean, we all are standing on the shoulders of our Catholic ancestors and faith. And so as we hear the stories, as heritage becomes better known, and as people visit, like you did, Josh, and like you have, Allison, we start to develop memories about the place. We hear the stories, and then we start to have our own firsthand experiences for coming out there. I mean, the faith has been in Georgia for 230 years, and we would like, and Sharon at Ed Heritage, to impact our faith for another 230 years. We would like to be influential in spreading and revitalizing the Catholic faith for 500 years out here.
Amen.
And so there are lots of memories to be had with those of us who are just finding out about heritage for the first time.
Yeah. Absolutely. And a reminder that we are all basking in the generational thumbprint of those who lived and died for Christ. And so, in a way, those memories are inherited just through our participation in the faith.
Allison, I think you experienced
yes.
the same thing. And that palpable feeling is the Holy Spirit that has been moving through people who were brave enough to come and settle and establish the faith, even without priests a lot of the times. And they kept the faith going. And here we are at Christmas Eve and several other times during the year in that church celebrating. And when we ring the bell, that's the original bell of the bell tower of the church, you just get a chill up your spine because you think, wow, this has been going on for a while here. So there's no substitute for that. That's for sure.
I love that. So, Betsy, if people want to learn more about the Christmas Eve at Heritage Mass, or if they want to get more information, where can they go?
Yes, they'll go to our website, which is heritagega.org, the word heritage with GA like Georgia.org. And when they land on our homepage, they can go to events or visit. And the Christmas Eve Mass is our next big public event, and it will come up as you scroll down and give you the times and the directions. And we'd love for people to come and join us for hot chocolate before the Mass starts, and then to be there with us in worship and in spirit during the Christmas Eve celebration, which is at 3 o'clock on December 24th.
Thank you so much, Betsy Orr from Heritage Retreat Center.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for the opportunity.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:55, and Dave, you are full of surprises today, aren't you?
I am. No, I saw this. It looked pretty interesting. Some of the terms from Christmas and Advent okay. that you probably know all of these. Yuletide.
What?
Yuletide, it says here it's just another name for Christmas. It originally referred to a winter festival that got absorbed into the Christian celebration.
Oh, I thought that was like a plural, like, chant for Alabama fans. Like, Yuletide! Roll Tide!
Roll Tide! Yuletide!
Yeah.
Absolutely. Advent, yeah. We know what that is. The four-week season preparation for Christmas. The name means actually coming.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Noel.
Noel.
Yeah. It's just a French word for Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah.
I should know. Some of these, I'm surprised. Yeah,
rooted
yeah.
in natalis, meaning birth.
Okay.
And do you know what the difference is? It reminds me of this. Do you know what the difference is between the Christmas alphabet and the regular alphabet?
What's that?
The Christmas alphabet has no L. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be here all week. Actually, no, I think we're canceled after that one.
I think so.
Yeah.
Creche, a French word for the nativity scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Literally means crib.
That's what we did at the sister's house.
Mm-hmm. Nativity refers to the birth of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Tidings, as in tidings of comfort and joy,
mm-hmm.
just means announcements. That's all it is. Hark! The herald angels sing. Hark. Do you know what hark means? Just listen. Listen up.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Immaculate Conception, a lot of people misunderstand that. They think it's Jesus' conception, but it's the Virgin Mary's
conception. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Being born without original sin.
Through a singular grace of God to be the perfect vessel for our Lord and Savior.
Absolutely.
How about that? Look at you, Dave.
Yeah.
You should teach, what do you think, like OCIA? No, maybe like, what, Sunday school?
Yeah, I could do that.
You could do that, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, cool. We'll do this again tomorrow, huh?
Let's do it tomorrow. Hey, and then have a wonderful day. And let's close this thing out the holy way. Glory be to the Father.
Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Have a great day.
And may you find joy in the journey.